590 WVLK. And now, here's Jack Patty.
Good morning. Welcome into the 9 to 10 show. It is Friday the 13th, but we're not going to let that worry us. We're going to still win, right? Of course. Coming up, the weather every 6 minutes, traffic as it happens. And also, we've got being a Forensic Friday, Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us in the studio. And a cast of thousands this morning brought to you by Landscaper's Corner at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. This spring, when it's time for grass seed, Landscaper's Corner has Triple Crown Elite available in 5, 25, and 50-pound bags. Call 225-9433. Our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts, ifixfoundations.com, 859-254-7700. And as you would guess, Ray likes me to ask him these questions. Our question of the day, how are the Cats going to do in the tournament?
You know, I think if they get past the first one, then we're going to be all right. But I think
this is going to be the tough one.
I think it's going to be, because you're playing a team three times.
Three times, yeah. And a good team three times.
Well, I don't know about that.
You tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results between noon and 3 with Cruiser and Crew. Yesterday, our question was, should anti-heroin legislation include optional needle exchange programs? You have an opinion on that, Ray?
Yeah, I don't know that I like that.
No.
That'll get them out of the woodwork, but I don't know that I like that.
No was the answer of 65%. They said we shouldn't encourage addicts. Yes was the answer of the 35%. It helps stop spread of serious disease. So there you go. Those are our questions. Ray, you brought a regular with you this morning, our sheriff, Kathy Witt. Right. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
You know, Kathy comes on the program once a month, mm-hmm. and you almost always brings guests with her. And who else do we have this morning?
Well, we have Deputy Sheriff Ron Watson, who is a big deal in the area of graffiti eradication.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
We've had you on talking about that
morning,
before.
Sir.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Good to have you here.
And obviously, he's a man of few words. We'll have to ask Ron leading questions.
Well, pull it out of him.
We will. Yeah. We will. And Sergeant Todd Phillips with the Lexington Police Department.
Morning, Todd.
Who is the commander of the, I guess, the gang resource. What do you call it? Give me the title of this.
It's the gang resource program, which is embedded within the CLEAR unit.
Right. That's what I was
We don't like to think of having gangs in Lexington. We don't want to thought of that. But before we get into that, I know the sheriff lost someone over the night who's very, very close to her. And Kathy, share that information with us.
Okay. Well, he was very close to a lot of us, close to Ray and I and just countless people here in Lexington. But I received a call this morning from Mondo Angelucci that retired Chief Circuit Judge Armand Angelucci had passed away earlier this morning. And he was just instrumental to so many people, not in the downtown area, but throughout our community. Ray, I know he had great influence over my life, and I'm sure he had great influence over your life as well.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
He had almost no tolerance for people who chose to victimize innocent people. I mean, he just would become upset. Now, he was a fair judge.
Yeah.
But he would, once the jury did its work and it's time for him to sentence them, by God, he sentenced them. I miss that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when I first came on here, we had, I think, probably the best judges.
Panel. Who was there at the time?
Well, George Barker.
Oh, yeah.
L.T. Grant. Mm-hmm. Mitch Mead.
Tackett.
Tackett. And Angelucci.
Yes.
Yeah, they were not. They were tough judges, fair and tough judges.
Well, they were, and I'll tell you the. I got advice from a lot of people along the way, and one of the things I heard from Judge Angelucci was he called me over when I got the job because he didn't know me from a load of coal.
Yeah.
And he called me over and he said, "I want to give you some good advice." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "In your position, don't ever do anybody a favor."
Wow. That's strong.
Well, it's, and it's good advice.
Yeah.
It's
excellent advice.
And I've lost a bunch of friends.
I bet.
Over not doing their kids
right.
a favor.
Right.
And, but that was good advice.
Tell us about your history with the...
Ray describes him very well as to who he was from the bench. And I had the opportunity, though, to also know him as well as Ray did on a personal level. His son, of course, as we all know, Deputy Sheriff Joseph Angelusi, was with us in the sheriff's office. Joe and I joined the sheriff's office at about the same time, and we became close and very good and personal friends. So it was a tremendous loss the day that Joe laid his life down in the right. line of duty. And right. the Angelusi family has been family to the Office of Sheriff ever since Joe chose to join the team at the Office of Sheriff. And they have stayed in contact with us and shared certain things with us and celebrated with us. And so he was just a tremendous influence on me.
Ron,
I know that growing up, he was also a baseball coach to both his boys, and he was instrumental in the Little League over there in Ecton Park. And he just was a tremendous person. You know, we've really lost someone to our community.
Ron?
I've known Judge Angelusi probably longer than anybody here because he used to practice in my grandfather's court.
Oh, really?
Years and years ago.
Really? And who was your grandfather?
His name was Frank Bromley. He was the magistrate when they tried all the cases, stuff like that. There's a newspaper article about my grandfather's court and Angelusi. There's some. I still got it.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
He's an interesting, great man.
Well, it's great. He was 94. 94, so a long, long life.
Absolutely.
Can I say one more thing?
I wish you would.
Joyce, his wife, I've known the Angelusis for a long time because Joe was in my wife's fourth grade class. And Joyce was the homeroom mother. I don't know if
Over
they
had Cassidy, right?
Over Cassidy. Yeah. I don't know if they have those anymore.
I don't either.
But she brought a great big jar of jelly beans in and had a contest about guessing how many jelly beans there were in it. Guess who won?
Who?
Joe.
Of course.
The fix was in.
Yeah.
That's IQ.
That's all you need to know.
That's right.
That's funny. All right, we don't, as I say, we're going to talk about graffiti and the sheriff's graffiti program. Is all or most graffiti gang related?
Not necessarily. There is a big misconception with that a lot of times. We've done studies here in Lexington from time to time, and they coincide with what goes on nationally, but 85% of the graffiti that we see on walls as we drive around the city of Lexington is not gang graffiti.
It's, oh, really? Most of it's not. Okay.
Most of it's not. It's street art, as they call it on the street. We call it vandalism because it does cause a lot of property damage. But only a small percentage is gang graffiti because it has a much more specific message. So most of what everybody sees when they drive around is not gang related.
Well, that's good news, even though it doesn't make the problem go away. That makes me feel better. I don't like the thoughts of having gangs in our town. We do, though. When by bearing our head in the sands doesn't do any good. How are we doing in that regard?
We're making progress. You know, it's a daily thing for us to be working cases and dealing with the different things that come about with gangs. You know, gangs have been around societies for a long, long time. And Lexington's no different than anywhere else. They just try to operate in ways that not everybody understands or sees. And so, you know, I think we do a pretty good job here in this city of paying attention to the things that we need to see to be able to build cases and alleviate problems and steer behavior when it comes to gangs.
It seems to me that the last time we talked about this, the different gangs, and how many are there, roughly?
There's a number of gangs. That fluctuates on a day-to-day basis.
Less than 10, more than 5?
You're going to be in the 10-plus range when you're talking about, but the size of those could be as little as 5 and as much as 20, 30.
I got you. Now, do they have a way of telling which gang has done the graffiti? Is there a calling card to it?
There is. Most all gangs have different reasons that they do graffiti, and all of those reasons are to exploit the gang in some form or fashion. So
is it a message to the other gangs that are, or
sometimes it is. Sometimes it's territorial, and it's to say, hey, this is our area.
Our turf, yeah.
Sometimes it's a rest in peace symbology, whether somebody nationally or somebody locally. And other times it's to make threats. But in all three of those occurrences, it's a way for them to put their name out and send a message either to themselves or to rival gang members.
Okay, well, we can certainly talk more about gangs, but if 85% of the graffiti aren't gangs, Ray, where do we go here? You want to talk about the 85%?
Well, we can talk about it. However, the thing that I watched a TV show about judging graffiti. They have they call it an art, some kind of an art deal. And they were judging, they had critics judging this this graffiti that these people were, had to be, I guess, in Los Angeles, one of those places. But that's almost making vandalizing people's property
an art form.
Well, it's okay because it's art, and they got a TV show about it.
That's crazy.
What? The reason we're bringing this up is we had a case come to our office just this past week that had to do with graffiti, and it was a Hispanic gang case, and I'd had no idea how much money has to be invested in clearing up graffiti as far as insurance companies and that. And you were talking a little bit about that, Todd. What are your thoughts? Or what do you know about that?
Well, there's a misconception a lot of times that when you get, you know, a piece of spray painted graffiti on the side of a brick wall or the side of a painted wall, that it's not going to take a whole lot to fix it. Well, if you look at that in replacement cost, when you're talking about insurance costs to get somebody's, a victim's property back to its original condition, when you start weighing that into an effect, just like a car crash, the cost is through the roof.
Is it really?
Oh, absolutely, on how much damage that can be done. I mean, to power wash brick and sometimes to sandblast it to get it back to its original condition is extremely expensive cost. And so when you start adding that up on the amount, because nobody really does one graffiti piece. Normally they'll hit several buildings, they'll hit interiors. By the time you add the property damage up, it's extremely expensive.
And you could go, well, the insurance companies are paying for that. Yeah, but who's paying for the insurance companies? You and me, right?
Yes.
With the rate. All right, we're going to take a break. If you have a question or comment, we want to hear it. Somebody's already on hold. We'll talk about it when we come back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. And we're back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty@wblkam.com. Real quickly, Sheriff, congratulations to you and your department for an outstanding job during this horrible weather that we had and this wonderful care program that you have. You guys really stepped up. You always do.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. We have a great team that loves serving this community. So,
well, a nice job. We're glad about it. Jim is on the line. Hey, Jim.
Yes, good topic. You know, I was wanting to make a comment that these people that do this stuff, I notice it's amazing how they can just must just hang by their feet or something to get over these bridges and paint these things.
I wonder
they
the same thing.
Night.
Yeah.
They must do it at nighttime because, you know, nobody sees them doing it. It's amazing how they can do that. That's number one. And the couple of questions, what kind of crimes are these gangs into? And what is the penalty when you do catch these people who do this stuff?
All right, that's a really... I'm going to let you listen to the answer off the air, Jim. How do these people do it? Yeah, they must be hanging on their... by their toes.
You know, that's a really good question. We don't see them do it a lot of times.
So you don't know, I guess.
Yeah, whether they're hanging from a rope or a string or balancing on the edge of something is really hard to say, but some of those areas are really tough to get to.
You know, Jack, I've always thought if they are hanging down there over a highway on one of those overpasses, that's probably a safety thing for them because they're such knuckleheads.
Yeah, there you go.
If they fell and hit on their head, they'd be okay.
Wouldn't hurt themselves. Yeah. I guess it is done at night, right?
We've got reports of some of it during the day. It just depends.
Really?
Yeah.
Ron, you had a comment?
Yes, we've had to do bridges and had to get Home Depot to lend us a lift to get up there to repaint them or paint over them.
Okay, we have another call. This is David. Good morning, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I had a comment about the non-drug gang-related...
graffiti, yeah.
My nephew, about 15 years ago, my sister thought it would be nice to give my nephew about 50 cans of spray paint so he could paint his room. Well, he went and tagged 13 buildings between Lawrence, Massachusetts and North Andover, Massachusetts. The police actually thought there was a new gang in town because the areas he was tagging were areas where two gangs, you know, kind of fought over territory. Well, they caught him. He went to court. They estimated it was $90,000 worth of damage he did.
Wow. That's amazing.
And the judge ordered him to clean it, and what he couldn't clean, my sister had to pay for. And then once he got it cleaned, he was supposed to go to some juvenile farm. And once he got the stuff cleaned, and my sister got it cleaned up, they were going to court so he could go to this farm. And she said, Your Honor, I'd like to send my son to my brother down in Kentucky. And in the courtroom, my nephew said, oh, please, no, I'll go to the farm.
He didn't want to have to come and face you.
Well, no, he came down here and worked with me breaking stones for 3 months. That boy never got in trouble ever again.
Good. What about these guys making them clean up their own mess? Does that happen? I mean, you said something about inmates. Are these people that you catch, are they ever charged with that responsibility?
We've seen that happen sometimes in juvenile court. We haven't seen it a lot, but we have seen that sometimes.
Is it mainly juveniles that are doing the graffiti?
Not necessarily. No. That's a little bit of a misconception sometimes. Sometimes there are graffiti artists, as they call themselves, that are, you know, 30, 40 years old. They're not necessarily juveniles in any way, but they just like to exploit whatever their mindset is politically or whatever it may be, and they go out and do it on a wall with a can of spray paint, and we see that.
David, I appreciate your call. We have to take a break. This will be a good stopping point. If you have a question or comment, we'd like to hear it. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Our guest this morning, of course, with Ray Larson, our Commonwealth attorney, Sheriff Kathy Withers with us, Deputy Ron Watson, and also Sergeant Todd Phillips from the Police Department. We'll be right back. It's 9:34, 26 before 10, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. The gentleman that called before our last caller made 2 points, and I didn't address the second part of his question, and that was, do these people ever, are they ever charged to make restitution who do this
well,
stuff?
Well, he wanted to know what the penalty was.
Yeah.
And the penalty is the criminal mischief. The crime is called criminal mischief.
Misdemeanor?
It can be. If the damage is over $1,000, it can be a felony.
Okay.
And, you know, we don't get... The cases have to go through district court or juvenile court or wherever they go before they get to our office. And we don't get a lot of graffiti cases in our office. And that's the reason I got my panties all in a wad over this one that came up, was I was just hostile about the fact that this yo-yo goes out and spray paint somebody's property and that person's left to
clean up the mess.
Get something done.
Yeah.
What I'm anxious to hear about, I wish Kathy and Ron would talk to us about how they've decided to get into to try to provide a service to the citizens of our community who are graffitiized. I just made that up.
I like that.
And you all do a heck of a job, Kathy, so tell us a little bit about it.
Ray, that's very kind of you. You know, I have to give credit where credit's due, though. I think it was back in 2005 you actually presented this idea to our office and suggested that we form this graffiti removal unit.
That must be why I think it's such a great idea. What do
you think? You forgot it was your idea.
Well, he was really instrumental in getting us excited and encouraged to start this unit. We partnered with our partners at Division of Community Corrections. We held a press conference down there in the middle of downtown, and Captain Watson was with us at the start of that unit, and he's still running that unit today. And it is a service to the community. We couldn't do it, though, without our business partners. Home Depot has been instrumental to us. Rodney Parsons, when he was living, was instrumental to us with his business. And Captain Watson. But, you know, Jack, I've always been a believer that those that are incarcerated, rather than just mark time, should repay their debt to society while incarcerated.
Amen,
this is
sister.
One way that they can do that. Captain Watson, tell us a little bit about that unit.
Well, we've been doing it now for 9 years, I believe it is here. And
How many sites have you scrubbed or painted or blasted or whatever you did?
We did 38,771 tags last year.
But who's counting?
Tell you right.
I count every
no
one
rounding
of them.
There.
Tags are just
a 12-inch letter up to a 12-inch letter.
Okay.
And we found that out by talking to people in other communities in Detroit when I went on extradition. I talked to people what they considered a tag.
And, 12 inches or bigger.
Yeah. And without the help of the jail trustees, we couldn't do it. It saves the city a tremendous amount of money.
Well, so if I had somebody come by and tag my house, and I call the sheriff's office, so what happens then?
Well, we
get in line.
Yes. We're backed up on calls, you know, as
right,
we talk.
Right.
But we've mostly tried to take care of the downtown area and the four main areas, which is the Cardinal Hill and Kenwick areas, one of them, Wood Hill, and then the West End, I'm sorry, and Georgetown Street now in that area. But
so what do? You go and get people from the jail every day?
Yes, sir.
Well, talk to us about it.
Well, we've been...
Now, Ron, you got to be a little more effervescent here and talk to us.
Is it something they sign up for, or is that something that they're assigned to do?
No, sir. There are just certain ones, the community service ones, they're only ones they let do that.
And I see.
They screen them real good, and we take them out every morning and we have a trailer that Home Depot donated to us, so we have all our paint and tools and everything in. And we'll go to a site and start painting or pressure washing or sandblasting.
Now, do you obviously have professionals that know what they're doing, right, to guide these people? Is that you?
That's Ron.
Really? Because, I mean, it's pretty. There's some skill involved to doing it,
I imagine. Yes, sir. After 9 years, I think I'm getting pretty good at it. But I always ask the people or whoever the owners are if we can do such and such on their building.
Is it usually pressure wash?
A lot of it is, but most of it's painted. We've been able to learn how to match, how to paint different bricks and everything. We'll take a brick chip and take it to Home Depot and they'll match it. And it's easier to paint it than when the paint gets in the pores of the brick, it's awful hard to get out even with a sandblaster.
Really? What about the grout? You have to paint in it too?
Yes, sir. We've got a way to clean the grout out.
We got an electric
grill that's got a stone on it.
But you're actually painting the individual bricks.
Yes, sir.
I can't imagine how time-consuming that must be.
It is. Very time-consuming.
Yeah.
What about the guys, the trustees? Do they want to do this?
Oh, absolutely. They get out of jail. They, you know, it's really good for them.
It's called windshield therapy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate. We've had some really good trustees. That's true. And what they do after they get out, I don't know, but I don't hear from them. But we've had some really good workers, and they enjoy getting out. And
how many? So you did over 38,000 last year.
Yes, sir.
I can't. That blows my mind, doesn't it, you?
Well,
jeez.
Think about it, Jack. If the sheriff and Ron and these trustees weren't doing this, you have 38,000, and then next year you have the same amount. If something isn't done to take care of it, then we're going to look like
Chicago,
Beirut,
or Detroit.
Yeah.
What about these trains? I've been stopped, and I'm sure everybody has had the.
The only one we've worked on there is for Mr. Foreman down there when he. We painted some of those.
But these trains that you see going on the overpasses, and almost every one of those train cars has graffiti, that wasn't necessarily done here. In fact, it probably wasn't done here, right? Was it done probably in a train yard somewhere in a big city?
Uh, you know, trains obviously travel across state lines. So what you'll see in the graffiti world from some of these artists is they want a bomb, as they say, a mural that people can see all over. And so they'll put something on a train knowing it's going to cross multiple cities, counties, states, so that everybody
can show off
can,
their artwork.
Absolutely.
Really? And
yes.
So is it usually done, say, in Detroit or Chicago or someplace with big train yards?
You know, it's hard to say. Obviously, a train yard when they're stationary is going to be the biggest target area for somebody that's wanting to do that.
Well, if you've ever sat and watched a long train, there are very few cars that don't have the graffiti on them.
True. Yes.
This is David. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. You know, I have a kind of a question, a statement, and the question being, what happened to the standards of the past? You know, when someone would go to the penitentiary or, you know, doing hard time, if you will, actually, you know, broke rocks into gravel, and the gravel was used for road projects. But in a specific example, in Frankfurt, the penitentiary was built downtown where the old transportation building is, and right next to it was the shoe factory. Well, where did the shoe factory get all of its employees? Well, from the prison. And that was, you know, a way that, you know, you're doing time, but you're also repaying, you know, the community in some sense. Now we mollycoddle these people. We give them cable. We've got to make sure that they've got transsexual, in some states, you know, operations if need be. Where, I mean, oh, my goodness, where are they going to stop? I mean, you know, at some point, policing, you know, you guys should be able to concentrate on crime and punishment, not mollycoddling people and trying to make sure they're, you know, I mean, it's great that we can help them, you know, when it's in times of the cold and such, but it does worry me that you guys are so distracted with so much other, you're tasked with things that just shouldn't fall under your purveyance. You're admirable for what you do.
Let me just hang on before I let all of our guests answer. I just want you to know, from my vantage point, I'm looking at four smiling faces right now, David. In other words, you're preaching to the choir, Ray.
Ubiquitous.
Yeah. Ray? Now, that's a big word,
but
that's okay.
Was he cussing at me?
I don't think he called you anything.
David, were you cussing at me?
Yeah, some would say.
Yeah. Well, I've joined the crowd or take a number. The fact of the matter is that these days, thanks to our legislature, very few people go to prison. And the people that do this kind of thing will not go to prison because they say this is not the kind of crime for which they ought to be punished.
But what about making inmates in the federal penitentiary go out on a chain gang like they used to? Is that cruel and unusual punishment?
Oh, you bet you'd have more lawsuits on your hands.
Really?
Carter's got little liver pills.
Well, I appreciate your call, David, and I know do any of the rest of you have comments? No?
What's left to say after Ray talks about that?
Yeah, he kind of wrapped it up there for us, didn't he? 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlk. It's 9 minutes away from 10 o'clock, News Talk 590 WVLK, and we have really a very interesting subject this morning, and that is graffiti, where it comes from, how do you catch them, how are they punished, and all that this morning. This is Dan. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Of course, everybody's aware of this 9-year-old boy that was recently shot by mm-hmm. the fellow they picked up in West Virginia. From reading the news accounts yesterday, it looked like ICE was involved in his apprehension, which makes me think he's just another illegal that's preying on our citizens. And here's my question. I've had several encounters with police officers, and they told me that when Ronnie Baskin was chief of police, that they were ordered to not really hassle illegal aliens, that they were basically told that they weren't going to be involved in trying to identify people that were illegal aliens and not turn them over to ICE or otherwise basically try to protect our citizens from being preyed upon by illegal aliens. And I'd like to know from Kathy, and Ray probably knows, was there ever any such order to the local police and law enforcement authorities to stand down from enforcing this? And if there never was an order, why don't y'all have a press conference?
Okay, hold on, Kathy.
Can I have finish my question?
Real
quick.
We're running out of time.
Ray and the police
chief
and announced we are not going to stand for illegal aliens in our city anymore.
Okay, all right, Kathy.
I know Chief Bastin very well. He is a man of honor and character and integrity. He would never issue such an order. You have one of the officers sitting here today with us. He is a person who is inclusive. He's all about partnerships. He's about partnerships on the local, state, and federal level, and that includes the ICE officers. Our office works with our two ICE officers regularly, and they'll tell you. The rules about the immigration and the detention, the removal, the words even change almost on a daily basis, Jack, but the rules change daily. And so it's a partnership.
It is a
work in progress, yeah. But I can vouch that would have never come out of Chief Bastin's mouth.
And we got a guy that worked for him here. So what do you say, Todd? Did you ever hear that? Did you ever get a...
No, I never heard such order.
Okay. So there you go, Ray. Now, we got, 2 minutes to wrap up here. Where are we going?
I want Ron to tell us about three instances of graffiti eradication that he and his crowd of criminals take care of.
Yes, sir. Starting with W.T. Young's building in the rear of his warehouses on Young Drive, we covered a 1,800 foot wall. We repainted it, and Mr. Young had just paid $80,000 to have it painted.
Gee.
And then
how long did it take you?
Over 2 weeks. And I had three trustees and four diversion people and myself.
Yeah. Okay, now what about the one that over the overpass you had to get up?
We asked Home Depot's always been real helpful with everything. They gave us a lift so we could go up there and repaint that paint over where they'd hung over the rail to paint it upside down.
Yeah.
Gee.
And what about, you said you were seven stories up on the government building?
Back at the rear of the government building, we painted that where they'd gone up on each floor and painted out a letter all the way up and down through the seven stories, and we repainted that. Where we took care of it.
Well, Jack, I want to tell you that this idea of helping our citizens get rid of this stuff is a big deal, and we got to thank Kathy and Ron and the detention center for letting us have some of those guys.
Thank you guys for being with us.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Go Big Blue.